My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Sports Radio 610 presents Seth Payne and Sean Pendergast.
We coming to H-Town. Let's get to work in, man. Let's go.
Great day. Great day. Oh, give me some juice, baby.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, what's happening, everybody? Happy Tuesday to all of you. It's a very happy Tuesday. Good to be with you. I'm Sean Pendergast. He is Seth Payne. We're with you till 10 a.m. The show is Payne and Pendergast. And Seth, I wake up this morning.
Yeah.
As you sit on your... All in the family sofa this morning out in Oregon.
I'm in Springfield, Oregon.
Springfield, Oregon.
Yeah, just helping the kid move into college, and I've got a great Airbnb here, and I think the neighbors are far enough away that my loud voice
Your
won't
booming. Voice.
If we get a knock at the door from the officials the cops at some point.
Yeah, because it's even earlier out there than normal, right? Well, we're 2 hours difference, right?
Yep, 4 a.m.
Hey,
yeah.
Man, I just got the days of the week, all right? Time zones, yeah. Like,
hey, I don't know if the listeners are aware of this or not, but it's a different time in Oregon.
Some aren't, probably. I think you're giving our listeners a lot of credit. You know how many listeners probably have to like go to a map to see what the time difference is between here and Oregon? More than you would think. More than you would.
Yeah, but yeah. I have to do it myself sometimes. It's 2 hours. Yeah,
4 a.m. out there. All right. So as you sit out there this morning, and as I sit here this morning, and the Astros lose last night to the Padres. No big deal. The Mariners didn't play. The one thing I am thankful for is in the standings now we are at a stage where the Astros and the Mariners have finally played the same amount of games, so I don't have to. You know, crunch all the numbers to figure out. No, it's four games, man. They've played the same amount of games, four games. Astros are leading. I don't know what the magic number is, but it's dwindling by the day. But last night they lose 3-1. But I am thankful, Seth, for two things based on things that happened yesterday. I was just thinking about this as I'm looking at the rundown. I am thankful for D'Amico Ryans, and I am thankful for C.J. Stroud. And it is because last night on Monday Night Football, the Eagles and Nick Sirianni allowed the Atlanta Falcons and Kirk Cousins to waltz down the field in Philadelphia at the end of the game and steal that game 22-21. We'll talk about that in a second. So I'm thankful for D'Amico Ryans because he's not Nick Sirianni. But even more than that, I am thankful for C.J. Stroud that he is not Bryce Young.
Oh, my gosh, man. Boy, we're in dicey territory with Bryce Young. This is
done,
man.
We should update the people just who don't know.
Yeah.
He got benched yesterday in Carolina, 19 games into his NFL career. Bryce Young is benched, and I listened to plenty of Carolina radio yesterday afternoon as the news was breaking, and the consensus seems to be two things. One, this is a David Tepper decision. David Tepper's the owner, the very intrusive owner. And two, Bryce Young he's cooked. He's Zach Wilson. He's Trey Lance, fill in name of highly drafted quarterback here who's moved on to other things. That is Bryce Young now.
I think it's hard to, honestly, it's really hard for me to drum up a whole lot of pettiness and saying like, yeah, take that, Bryce Young. He seems like a nice kid, and it seems like he works hard, et cetera, et cetera.
Yes.
But in taking delight at just everything and all the narratives collapsing and falling onto themselves, and the Texans being in the exact opposite situation with their quarterback, that part is fun. But I think also, you just look at, regardless of whether it's D'Amico Ryans or Nick Caserio or C.J. Stroud or anything else, you look at the differences in ownership around the league. And in Carolina, man, it looks like they are on track to be the new Washington Commanders.
Yes.
In which you have an owner that has a hair trigger on making decisions, thinks he's smarter than everybody else. The one thing that I saw yesterday in a comment from a Panthers fan was, whenever you hear somebody had an epiphany in Carolina now, you know that it's Dave Tepper.
Yes.
So Canales, the new coach, had nothing but confidence and support for Bryce Young last week. And they were behind him all the way.
Dude, he said on Sunday, I watched Canales' press conference after the loss to the Chargers. He was asked about benching Bryce, and we'll have the audio later. He's like, no, Bryce is my guy. He's our quarterback on Sunday, like 24 hours before.
One day later, and all of a sudden, hey, you got to do what's right for the team right now. And I'm not sitting here acting like all they had to do was stick with Bryce Young and he would have been just fine. Mm-hmm. Who knows exactly what the right decision is, except that it's just this erratic decision making from 1 month or 1 week to the next, in which this owner just seems to, he comes from a world in which, you know, in the financial markets and in the hedge fund world that he was in, a lot of active trading, not necessarily a long-term strategy, just ADHD to the extreme, and that's how they're operating their football franchise. So it's just that's nice to see. If you look at, you know, I think the Texans were painted as that, when in reality, looking back on it, there was a whole lot of turmoil, or just there was a transition phase after Bob McNair passed away, in which they were trying to find exactly what the right structure was. But where you can sit now and look at what the McNairs are willing to do and support they're willing to give their football people, and that their football people make the right decisions once they have them in place, it's just night and day between the Panthers and the Texans.
Yeah, you're right. I should throw the McNairs in there too. C.J. Stroud, D'Amico Ryans, and the McNairs, because you just laid it out. You laid out the Tepper side of this thing. You're absolutely right. Like, that's, even as the Texans were where the Panthers are now, in terms of the standings and just the roster and everything else, there would never be a point, if we were to ask that question and when it got really bad, do you think Cal McNair is going to step in and tell Lovie Smith or David Culley or even, you know, or D'Amico Ryans or whoever what to do with the quarterback? Like, never. Like, the answer is never. He would never. Cal would never do that, ever.
I think looking back on it, look, every GM is going to make personnel mistakes or what have you. I mean, sometimes it's hard to even call a lot of personnel decisions mistakes, because it's like a batter. You know, it's like a major league batter. If he's going to make a lot of, if you call every strikeout a mistake or every flyout a mistake, that's just not the way it works.
Right.
But I think, by far the biggest mistake this organization has made, the Texans, is in the selection of David Culley as the coach that year. It just, because I don't think the Texans were trying to outright tank, like just intentionally be as miserable as possible. They knew it was a reset year, and they knew that, hey, you're probably going to have better draft picks because of this season. But I think that they were also trying to establish a culture of some sort, and Culley just wasn't that guy to set that culture.
No,
Lovie Smith would have been the best bridge coach, but ultimately, at the end of the day, if you look at the Panthers going back to last season, it was so erratic from week to week, where Frank Reich lost his play calling duties and then took back his play calling duties, and then Frank Reich is gone, and it's just so many sea changes from one week to the next. It's really hard to establish anything like that.
Yeah, it's tough. And I got thinking this morning too, because the Panthers didn't earn the pick, air quotes, earn the pick. They got them Bryce Young. They traded up to get it. The Bears had that pick, and they traded with the Panthers. And on paper, that turned out to be a really good trade, other than the fact that if the Bears had just stayed at one and drafted C.J. Stroud, they would be the ones on track to win 11 or 12 games this year, not the Houston Texans. Actually, technically, the Texans are on track to win all 17 games this year on pace.
That's just math.
That's just math. Don't shoot the messenger. That's just math. But I got thinking about this because a lot of people point out, like, oh, it turns out the Texans in getting that number two pick, they were really lucky to get that number two pick because they were going to take Bryce Young with the first pick, and they really dodged a bullet with Bryce Young. To which I would say, I know you pointed out many times, maybe they weren't going to take Bryce Young. There's a chance they did like C.J. Stroud better. But Bryce may have been different here. I will point this out. It was Carolina trading up to get Bryce. The Texans had a chance to trade up to number one if they liked a quarterback enough. They stayed at two. You know, they were comfortable being at two and with whoever was there, taking whoever's there. So even if they did have Bryce at the top of their big board, they weren't thirsty enough to give up assets to go get him. At the, you know, they, at the very least, they viewed those two guys similarly, Bryce.
Yeah,
and CJ.
And this isn't this is not hindsight by me or anything. This has been my consistent thought all along, was that I don't think people were as unanimously sold on Bryce Young as a lot of the media narrative became. And then B, I do think that at the point in the process when the trade was made or when the Texans were trading up, I honestly don't think either organization knew exactly who they were going to pick. I think they thought that both those guys were worth a number one overall pick. But it's not as simple as just, oh yeah, they were going to trade for Bryce Young. Everybody knew it. You know, for one, the Panthers subscribe to the S2 test service.
Yes.
The Texans do not.
Correct.
For whatever reason. So you've got this analytically minded owner that thinks he's smarter than everybody in this S2 cognition test that Bryce Young aced and C.J. Stroud was awful at, seemed to be a big talking point in a lot of ways. And I don't think it's, and I'm not even saying that as giving credit to the Texans or anything. I think there are a lot of teams in the league that looked at Bryce Young and saw what an outlier he would be in terms of being a smaller guy who's not actually all that athletic playing quarterback in the NFL. And when you see him in person and watch him work out versus C.J. Stroud in person, I think there was a lot more disagreement over whether you should take a flyer on Bryce Young than a lot of the media types said.
Yep, I agree with that. Middle screen's up early, and I thought about this yesterday when he just texted in. Pretty ironic that Bryce was the one who was named the starter from day one, and Stroud had to beat out Mills and Keenum. And it's true. Like, this whole thing, especially if you juxtapose it to the way the Texans brought along C.J. Stroud early on, it is really a referendum on bringing in a highly drafted young quarterback, whereas the Panthers treated it like a coronation of Bryce Young. Like, he had already accomplished something by being the number one overall pick. The Texans drafted C.J. Stroud knowing full well he was eventually going to be the guy they chose to be the franchise quarterback. I don't think they knew he would turn into this so early. You know, like, I think it is when you look at the two franchises and how they handled it, there's something there, you know. There is something there. All right, off and running on a Tuesday. Monday Night Football last night, by the way, Atlanta 22, Eagles 21. We didn't really dig into that, but the Eagles might have saved the Falcons' season last night by allowing a late touchdown in that game. We'll get to that in headlines a little bit later. Hey, and the Astros lose last night, if you're just getting in your car, 3-1, because I know a lot of you got in your car, probably went to bed knowing that game started at 8:40 last night. Let's get back to the Texans. Two big things coming out of the game on Sunday night. What should the punishment be for someone who had to defend himself Cobra Kai style on an opposing bench? And two, where are these hip drop tackle penalties that we've been discussing? Joe Mixon wants to know. We will get to that coming up next.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid.
The GelFlex Grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex Grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
A lot of great things on tape. I mean, first and foremost, we're just excited to get the win, right? And I think for me, it was a team win, right? When we needed plays on offense, they made plays, right? We needed the kicking game to step up. Right, Emi had an outstanding game. Again, I mentioned it yesterday, but I think he's one of the only kickers in NFL history, back-to-back weeks of over three kicks over 50 yards. So Emi is playing lights out for us, and that was one thing that definitely stood out in the game. And defensively, just seeing the guys just swarm. You know, we talk about the D-line and what they did with all the pressures, but just watching Petrie and watching how relentless he was, you know, every rep, no matter if he was rushing, no matter if he's in coverage, like he was all over the field, sideline to sideline, playing relentless. And it was just exciting to see, you know, our style of play on defense just show through the tape. from all three levels of our defense. All the guys were playing with great effort. All the guys were playing physical. Just love to see that style.
In the moment on Sunday night, it got frustrating because the Texans should have won by more. You know, if you just look at the even just something as basic as the fumble by Cam Akers that would have made it 26-10, stuff like that. And a lot of the times, the Texans have played way more close games than they have blowouts on either side since D'Amico got here, Seth. And I think in a lot of these games, there have been junctures in the game where if the Texans just didn't make a mistake or if they just made a play, the game plays out very differently and it's not as close. You know, 2 days later here, I take a step back and I watch a game like last night and I'm like, you know what? I feel really good about this team right now. You know, they're not going to go committing 12 penalties in every game. Like the things that the Texans need to fix.
Yeah.
And the fact that they get to fix it while they're 2-0 in a league that 2 weeks into the season, there have been more landmines out there on the schedule for good teams than I can remember. And maybe it's because we finally have a really good team here and I'm more acute to it or in tune with it. But I'm happy with where the Texans are right now. Like, I feel like a lot of fixable stuff.
A lot of the things that Bill O'Brien said through the years that we got tired of are 100% true. Yeah, it's an 8-8 league, et cetera, et cetera. It's really hard to win football games in the regular season. I think in going off of a really small sample size early in the season, I'll just make it as simple as looking at the box score in a lot of respects of these last couple weeks. There's some weird things that happened that kept it from being a convincing victory. But on a down-by-down basis, you feel really good about the way the Texans physically competed with their opponents.
Yes.
And the Bears, by and large, did not compete offensively. Caleb Williams' yards per attempt and everything else, just like how effective he was as a passer. There's some things that look all right, but really, he was just dinking and dunking when he could, but he did not have anything available to him downfield. The Texans were blitzing the hell out of him. It was an uglier day than perhaps even the stat line would suggest for a guy that had a couple interceptions, really had three interceptions with one. I don't look at Caleb Williams yet as a guy that, like, well, yeah, he was throwing the ball up because he knew there was going to be a flag or what have you. No, he was at a point in the second half where he was just desperate to make anything happen. But it's been against a couple of questionable quarterbacks, and I don't think the Texans defense is a finished product, but really the biggest thing that makes me feel better about anything else is that they've tackled really well.
Yeah.
Like that last year they were one of the worst tackling teams in the league. They were second in the league in missed tackles, and they averaged 7.6 missed tackles per game. In the first two games, the Texans have a total of 5 missed tackles. I think they're just fundamentally a more sound defense.
Oh, I hadn't heard that number. 5 in 2 games for the entire team.
Yeah.
That's great. I like that a lot. So is Sam Darnold the toughest test they've had so far, quarterback, between Anthony Richardson and Caleb Williams?
I think this version of Sam Darnold, because I think they're doing the classic Kubiak-Shanahan thing up there, where you've got a coach that runs a Kubiak-Shanahan style system, and the quarterback has answers. And it, just like we've seen with guys like Matt Schaub or anybody else, when you put them in a system and they've got answers to the test, and on any given play, as long as they grasp the system, you might get the best out of them. I think Sam Darnold might be going down that path right now. And he's also got a really good defense on the other side.
Got a good defense.
Not a fluke that Brian Flores' defense has looked really good for the first 2 weeks.
Yeah, there's a lot of talent on that side of the ball, and Kevin O'Connell's a really good coach. So maybe it's the combination of Darnold and O'Connell versus the combination of Richardson and Steichen and the combination of Waldron and Caleb Williams. I do feel like, especially in Minnesota, this is the first offense that they'll be playing that feels like they can string together like a 9 or 10 play drive against the Texans.
Yeah.
I never felt like the Colts were going to be able to do. Once you saw that they had corralled Jonathan Taylor early on in that game, like they had an answer for Taylor in that game in the first half, I'm like, all right, the only way the Colts are beating them is the way that the Colts ended up scoring on drives, which was to get one gigantic chunk play and minimize the margin for error. And I felt the same way about Caleb Williams, especially with that crowd on Sunday night.
I think with Sam Darnold, especially because, look, you go back to, you know, he's one of the he's one of the many examples of guys that when you watch the highlight reel from training camp of his rookie year, you think, oh my gosh, this guy's incredible. He's fantastic. But he needed to be refined, and he needs limits. He needs guide rails. And if he takes all the experience he's had and genuinely absorbs this offense and plays by those guidelines, he still has that ability for the deep balls, for the play action, for all that stuff. And, I mean, it was just so many examples now. Geno Smith is probably paramount of a guy that just his first few years struggled to show any of the potential that he had that made him drafted as high as he was. And yet, okay, once he gets some stuff beat out of him and he finds himself in the right system, yeah, this might be a really viable NFL quarterback.
All right, so the things coming out of the Sunday night game that were big talking points yesterday, the first one was Azeez Al-Shaair and the incident along Chicago's bench after Azeez just absolutely tattooed Caleb Williams on a hit.
Legally,
yeah. No, he drove him out of bounds, but Caleb Williams was in bounds when he got hit. Azeez Al-Shaair did not get flagged by the referees. He would have been flagged by Chicago's bench and their staff and all the players over there if they could have. So Azeez wound up in a situation where he's just in a sea of orange jerseys who are very angry with him. And along the way, he may or may not have punched a Chicago player, helmeted player, in the head. And it turned into a, you know, kind of a bit of a melee. You know, the two teams separated. We went on with our evening. Here was D'Amico Ryans on what happened with Azeez Al-Shaair along the Chicago bench.
From my, you know, perspective, seeing Azeez, you know, he had a big hit on the quarterback, and everyone goes, you know, everyone gets a little antsy when the quarterback gets hit on the sideline. But if the quarterback stays in, he's going to get hit. Like, and now I think everybody's a little sensitive when there are big hits in the league. Like, we still play a physical game, and you're going to get hit hard if you're playing against us. That's just how we operate here. And, you know, what happened after that, Azeez is, of course, he's surrounded by a lot of their players and also some staff, and they are surrounding him. We got people pushing Azeez and kick, like, so we have to, as the game, we have to be better, right, from protecting all players involved, especially when something happens on the opposite sideline. Like, just have to be better. And we know, you know, from Azeez's perspective, we, you know, can't throw punches or anything like that. But just overall, we just have to be able to protect players, and it goes both ways. When you got guys surrounding one of our players and ununiformed staff that's surrounding, and then in that little mix-up as well, like, that's a problem, and we have to get it fixed.
D'Amico is the most polite conveyor of a future ass-kicking that I've ever heard in my life. Like, you're going to get hit hard when you play us. That's just how we operate over here, okay?
He's said a few things in the last couple of years that I think, if said with a different tone of voice from a different guy, if it were Bill O'Brien, then it would be headline material. I mean, that pep rally where he said, hey, you know, when a team wakes up the next day, we want them to feel like they played the Texans. Mm-hmm. The message was almost like, yeah, we want to hurt people. And yet, he phrases it just properly to make it sound like, hey, that's just D'Amico playing with passion. Yeah.
That's what we do.
He's basically in that moment when calling out Eberflus and his entire staff for their professionalism. And yet, I wonder if it's even being played like that in Chicago or anything. I think in Chicago, they're more upset about their offensive line and probably absorbed with that to worry about D'Amico.
Yeah. Are we there with this defense right now in terms of just the culture of it and the physicality? Like, do you think the Bears were feeling it when they woke up on Monday morning?
Yeah, I think that there were definitely. I think for one, just Caleb Williams himself taking so many clean legal hits. Yeah. I mean, there were times in that game where, man, in the old days, he probably would have been in the hospital. You know, some of those clean shots. Danielle Hunter and Will Anderson both had absolute murder potential shots at him, except they can't bury their helmet and everything, so they tackle, and he goes, and he still goes down pretty hard, but man, he took some shots, and that's on the quarterback where it's relatively easy, but I think the tackling alone, you've seen where it's not even necessarily the big hits as much as the sound and secure, solid hits where guys are getting wrapped up as they're getting hit that excite me. It's just a more physical defense so far this year than it was last year. They tried like hell to be physical last year, but it just wasn't disciplined enough. Whereas now I feel like they've got a they're more like a prize fighter. That yeah, there's an aggression, but it's a professional aggression where you got to be scientific about it.
Did you see the picture I sent it to you? I know you were traveling yesterday, so you may not have seen everything I sent to you. But I posted it on my Twitter account, so I'm not talking about something with Seth that other people can't see. If you want to see what I'm about to talk about, you can go to @SeanTPendergast. Did you see the picture I sent you of Danielle Hunter's sack? Like, it's, dude, Danielle Hunter's helmet is touching Caleb Williams, and he did not see Danielle Hunter coming at all. Like, he's still, like, looking downfield, holding the ball as if he's cocked and ready to throw it, and Danielle is in his face. Like, it's, that had to be jarring.
And, you know, I think some of it, too, I would imagine right now in Chicago, because this always happens, people are upset that on the Will Anderson play, they had a tight end trying to block Will Anderson.
Yeah.
That's 100% fine. That's a play that people run throughout the league where it was play action and they try to make it look like the tight end is kicking out the defensive end on a play action. The problem was the Bears have not, they're too sloppy offensively and haven't set it up well. Will, and this is a classic second year move by Will. Will wasn't just recklessly flying upfield on that and got lucky. Will made the right read and that he was ready to play the run, but wasn't fooled by the fake and just slipped that block by the tight end. And that's why Caleb Williams he had no chance on that play. That's where Caleb Williams is in trouble for the rest of the year if the offense doesn't get their act together.
Yeah, yeah. You're saying classic second-year play in so much as he never would have made that play as a rookie. Like, I don't think that's how he's advanced.
Either if he did, and if he did, it would have been because he was recklessly flying upfield. Yeah. He would have gotten lucky on that play, where I don't think he's that guy anymore. You could tell by his footwork that he actually made, it was a read that he made, and it ends up looking like he's just flying into the backfield.
That's great.
But the Danielle Hunter trade hit, the shot that you sent me.
Yeah.
Somebody, one of our listeners pointed out that I guess Mina Kimes said he looked like a flying squirrel, which is what I had said early in the morning yesterday.
Okay. Yeah, you did. You were first.
I will point out that, look, she went to Yale. She couldn't get into Cornell. I called him the squirrel missile.
Yeah.
You can't. Yes, he looked like a flying squirrel, but that's just too easy.
Squirrel missile
is what he looked like. Yes.
Yeah, spice it up a little bit.
Yeah. It's like a squirrel on creatine.
There you go. Let's get this in here because Joe Mixon ankle injury is going to be a big story this week. D'Amico Ryans, have you looked into the possible hip drop tackle on Joe Mixon?
Yeah, whenever there are plays of that nature, as the hip drop or the issue with the Z's on the sideline, we always want to send those into the league to make sure we're correct in what we're saying to our players. We just want to make sure we're coaching our players the right way and make sure we're within lines of the rules and playing the game the right way. So we always try to send those plays into the league to make sure we have clarity, so our players have clarity when they're on the field so they can play as fast as possible and leave no doubt.
Mixon was a little less diplomatic on Twitter. He said, NFL and NFLPA made a rule and an emphasis for a reason. Time to put your money where your mouth is, end quote.
Yeah, this is a classic instance. It's one of those things where everybody hates the hip drop tackle rule until all of a sudden protect them. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, everybody hates the cops until all of a sudden you need the cops.
That's right.
Hey, where were you?
I said I hated you.
I just, why didn't you come when I called? Here's the one thing. If you're old school and you hate that they're trying to legislate various things out, you can be old school and also want the hip drop tackle banned, because every single hip drop tackle could be avoided if the defender would just actually keep driving his feet through contact and make a clean and classic tackle. It's lazy and it is dangerous. And if you want to try to retain your old school toughness, just point out, if you just keep driving your feet through the tackle with good form, you don't have to hip drop tackle. So I'm calling the cops on this one too. I need them.
Okay.
I need them.
Yeah, the cops, the NFL. All right. Headlines. We'll get to the Astros. They lose last night. The home stretch is here for them. Monday Night Football, catastrophe in one city, season saved possibly early on in another, and a number one overall pick benched. We'll get to all that in headlines coming up next.
Payne and Pendergast with today's headlines.
All right, let's start with the Astros. They lose last night in San Diego. San Diego's hot team right now, man. They're in the lead right now for the wild card, final wild card spot in the NL, 2.5 games over the Arizona Diamondbacks. They're actually only 3.5 back of the Dodgers in the NL West. The Padres are closer to the Dodgers than the Mariners are to the Astros right now in their division. 3-1 the win. Yu Darvish, really, really good. Best outing since being sidelined for more than 3 months. We remember Yu Darvish from back in the 2017 World Series, Game 7. Spencer Arrighetti, 3-1 was the final score, so the bats went dry last night. But Spencer Arrighetti, another solid outing. I would say probably the biggest story coming out of this game, Spencer Arrighetti did something that several other pitchers couldn't do over the course of 141 plate appearances. He struck out Padres leadoff hitter Luis Arraez last night. First time in 141 plate appearances, Seth, that he struck out. Take that, Padres. How do you like
that
them?
Spin rate. That spin rate with none of the spider tack involved and what have you.
Hell yeah.
Take that. That's right. A canister of Zin, not spider tack in his pocket.
That's it, man.
I got to find my spider tack. I used to travel with it, but now I don't have it with me here in Oregon, just in case.
Never know. You're going to need sticky fingers. Yeah.
I needed a space-age sticky substance. I just never knew. So I'm in the Pacific Northwest right now, Sean. I might have needed to climb a redwood or something. Spencer Arrighetti, who's turning into a kind of a strikeout maven.
Doing
a lot of things that make you feel good about him going into the playoffs. So that, as much as you can derive from a loss in this weird September feeling where, boy, man, there's a lot to be uncomfortable about with the Astros, and yet everybody else is kind of complying within the division, at least, to not make you that uncomfortable.
It is interesting. You know, the two of the guys that are kind of, I'm on the bubble, like, I think Kikuchi's pitching really well. Like, he's less on the bubble than other guys. You know, Verlander does get things straightened out. I feel strongly he'll be the third guy behind Hunter Brown and Framber Valdez. I just think there's a moving of the goalposts for Verlander that will go on that doesn't happen for the other guys. If we wind up in a situation where Kikuchi and Arrighetti in particular, because they are just such swing and miss guys, that they're not part of a rotation, it'll be really interesting to see how they get deployed in the postseason, like how they get used. You know, do they get brought in like leverage situations towards the middle of a game where you need someone who's not going to give up contact? You know, are they going to come in with runners on second and third and one out in a situation in like the fifth inning of a playoff game? Because you need guys that can strike guys out in that situation.
And Arrighetti is exactly the guy too that, you know, I was reading the article in the Chronicle this morning that talked about how Arrighetti has turned into this reliable pitcher, and I agree to a certain degree, except he's still very capable about once every four outings potentially having to be yoinked after two-thirds of an inning. So that's I think you gotta wonder going into it, all right, what do we really have in Arrighetti, and am I going to have a hair trigger with him in the playoffs? Mm-hmm. And I don't think it's going to hurt his confidence or anything. He's rebounded from that already multiple times in his rookie year.
Yeah.
I think you just got to be on alert for it and be ready with either Blanco behind him or Kikuchi or however you handle it to piggyback in the playoffs.
Yeah, Arrighetti's ahead of schedule, man. Like, he's not he's not even supposed to be here, and he's certainly not supposed to be pitching like this. And I think he probably realizes that. You know, like, everything's a learning experience. You know. For him.
Yeah, it's not like, you don't have to worry about how it's going to affect clubhouse morale or anything
that. Or his psyche, I don't think. Like, he bounces back. He's very resilient.
I think that's what you see within his good appearances, is he is very resilient. He's learned to trust his defense behind him. Yep. He doesn't panic when he doesn't quite have control. He's been able to reel it back in. And the silver lining on some of his blow-up bad performances has been, he's come back the next outing and been just fine.
Yes.
So I think use him however you want. Don't worry about destroying his confidence. He's a veteran in a lot of respects, mentally and emotionally, I think.
I think it's a good assessment, yes.
Third down, 5. The ball at the 8 of Philadelphia. Cousins in the gun. 3 receivers right. Looks into the nickel. The shotgun snap. The center block. The line drive throw. Far side. Caught. Touchdown! At the pylon, London caught it chest high. Touchdown, Atlanta. 34 seconds to go.
That was Kevin Harlan on the call. Game you heard right here on Sports Radio 610. Cousins to to Drake London, 34 seconds to go. Extra point good from 48 yards because London got an unsportsmanlike conduct penalty after scoring the game-winning touchdown last night. And the Atlanta Falcons beat the Philadelphia Eagles on a drive that Kirk Cousins orchestrated inside of 2 minutes after the Eagles, Seth, had taken a 21-15 lead. They were up 18-15. They were on the tail end of a nine-minute drive in the fourth quarter, and they had a third down play, third and three, and Atlanta, no timeouts left, and they decided to throw a pass to Saquon Barkley out in the flat. Mm-hmm. Dropped pass by Saquon Barkley, stops the clock. Eagles are forced to kick a field goal. Saquon catches that ball. They're taking knees in Atlanta territory, and the game's over. So there's a lot of heat. I was listening to WIP on the way in this morning, our sister station up there. A lot of heat on Nick Sirianni for choosing to throw the ball there. A lot of heat on Saquon Barkley for dropping the ball. A ton of heat on your former DC, Vic Fangio, for allowing a game-winning touchdown drive to Kirk Cousins in prime time.
Man, Fangio, it's interesting. If you were to go from fan base to fan base around the league, where Fangio, who's now been in the NFL for he might be in his fifth decade in the NFL. Yeah. He's forever. He's been a coach. Sometimes it's brilliant, and sometimes it's just not the right fit, and it's two games into the season. Who knows? But I do know just from the year in which the Eagles lost their last Super Bowl, but they had a really good defense most of the year. They like guys who blitz a lot, and Fangio doesn't blitz a whole lot. And if it's not going really well, I could see it turning really rapidly. I feel bad because I love Vic Fangio.
Yeah.
But he's got to have the right personnel for it to work. I think as far as Saquon Barkley goes, look, it would be hard for me to sit here and gloat over Joe Mixon versus Saquon Barkley at this point, because you don't know Joe Mixon's how healthy he's going to be in couple weeks.
Yeah.
But with Saquon Barkley, I would point out that there is very much a boom or bust with him, and that, the highlight stuff is incredible. The potential is crazy, but he also gets tackled for no gain quite a bit. And, he's not known as a pass dropper or anything, but in this moment, he was not the chosen one that the Eagles fans thought he was.
No, he had a good game up to that point. I think he had 22 carries for 95 yards. Like, he had a good game. It's just unfortunate, man. Like, he, dropped the ball there. You got a chance to close the game out there.
I think the biggest thing that you and I both miss is that Cataldi, the radio host up there, has retired.
Angelo,
so we weren't able to tune into him and listen to him freaking the hell out about last night.
I'm guessing Philly people, no disrespect to the guys that do the morning show up there now. It's a good show, but, man, like, on days like this, after a Philadelphia team just completely collapses.
He's a guy that we fell in love with as he was delivering a rant about how much he hates the Astros.
Yeah, I couldn't help but love the guy. Yeah, like, he's just...
I was actually talking to Meltzer and Gallant about this the other day. We were talking about how, man, it does seem like in sports talk in general, including on television, even on ESPN, it's just, the nerds have taken over a little bit too much, to where all of a sudden guys like Mad Dog Russo are kind of a breath of fresh air.
Yes.
Where give me some guy that's just giving raw emotion, not making any sense as he's talking, like screaming about what he's angry about.
Yeah.
And there is something to be said for that. I just kind of miss, like, all right, can I please just be angry without not having to run the EPA through a calculator first?
I don't need to know why they're a disgrace. I just want to hear that they're a disgrace.
I just want to commiserate with somebody else who's talking about the same things I'm feeling about.
Bryce Young stinks, and that's why he's benched, because he stinks. Yeah. And Bryce Young got benched yesterday, by the way. That's our last headline there. Our baseball talk is presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile, and you can get tons of benefits and still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch. Ross Tucker, Odyssey NFL insider.
Ooh.
Yeah, he was on the call.
He's a big meathead.
He is.
He's not going to tell us about EPA.
Nope.
And
Nope.
There'll be no algorithms coming up next.
He's going to be telling us about eating and why Deion Sanders is clownish for throwing the football under 2 minutes to go in a game. He's up by 19. Ross was on that game on Colorado State this week. And we'll talk some NFL with our Odyssey NFL insider, Ross Tucker, up next.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Get your head in the financial game with smart investing and budgeting tips straight from the nerds. NerdWallet's experts will set future you up for success with dependable, fact-based insights. No financial misinformation allowed. Learn how to save on your summer vacation, find your next credit card or loan for a big purchase, and invest in your next index fund. Make smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.